Hi, this is the Dark Tangent, and the speeches you're about to listen to were recorded at DEF CON 6, which was held in July 31st to August 2nd, 1998, at the Plaza Hotel and Casino in Old Downtown Las Vegas. These speeches are copyright, non-commercial use, educational uses only. If you'd like to use them for any other purpose, please contact DEF CON at www.defcon.org or email to dtangent. That's DTANGENT at defcon.org. Now, some of the speeches were lost, so you're getting what we've got recorded. Now sit back and relax, and here comes some knowledge to your head.
About information warfare anyway, sort of a counterpoint to Wynn Schwartzow. Anyway, here's Lorenzo. He came all the way over from the UK to give this talk, so let's give him a hand.
Thank you very much. As you can hear from my accent, I'm actually not from Britain, but I'm actually from Italy, and I just finished sharing this wife-loving thing. And I can tell you that, I mean, you guys are lucky. I mean, Italy, although I like my country, in terms of wife-loving, it's even worse than here. I mean, we're talking about constantly wife-loving everybody. I mean, the staff that they have is probably three or four times more than in this country. So, I mean, if you guys did a good job on white-tapping, and I think it's going to also spill over in other countries like Italy or anywhere in Western Europe, and it's going to help out to preserve the privacy and the respect. I mean, the engagement of the judges. I mean, I like this atmosphere, and I think you guys can give an example. It will spill out everywhere.
It's okay.
I'm just talking about information warfare. I mean, my background, I'm a PhD student, I'm at King's College London, and my background is basically on strategy studies. I'm one of those guys that study strategy, major affairs, and things like this. And 3 years ago, and I've always been interested in technology since I was a little kid. I mean, that's the most interesting thing because it gives you challenges on a 24-hour space. And after that, I started looking at information warfare. I mean, I can pride myself to have read probably 90% of what has been written on the subject in the States and in UK and Europe. So, and since I'm an academic as a background, I always ask me all the questions. I mean, my question is constant, is why? Why are we talking about these things? Is this true? Is it logical? Is it illogical? Are we just wasting our money, our government money, or are we really going to accomplish something? So basically, my idea is that one of the weakest in information warfare, and I think debate, and I think it started a lot in this country, was that there is not a definition of the concept. I mean, what is information warfare? I mean, I see people saying, I put a website with a morphic page of a naked, some sort of presidential from some sort of countries, and I'm doing information warfare activities. Now, the basic question is like, when you look at information warfare, there are two terms which are essential when you start. Information and warfare. I mean, warfare is a political action. No matter what it is, has always been based on this concept. Clausewitz, which is the guy that I had to read, is a German thinker of the beginning of the 19th century. He said that warfare is the continuation of politics without a means. So, and what is information? I personally think that information is the use of data manipulated and interpreted by yourself. Consequently, when you're doing information warfare, basically you're trying to do something. You're trying to modify the data upon which the people are trying to do their action. Now, we have to focus this in the media environment. Consequently, at the tactical and strategic level. So, my definition of information warfare is the capacity of controlling data, and in order to upset your enemy, and you know, in order to make him not doing what you expect him this time of doing. And in terms of defenses, it's to actually say, how am I going to defend myself in order for somebody to do it against me? Now, the last part of, you know, after this definition, a lot of people say, you know, where does the threat come from in information warfare? You know, you start reading books, they say hackers, terrorists, organized crime, like whatever. I mean, I've seen millions of people. And I can tell you, I mean, most of these people that say things like this, they actually don't get the basics. I mean, when you're talking about hackers, I mean, I've been coming to this conference for a long time for one specific reason. I mean, I always ask my question, why? So it's, you know, I have to do field work. Come here, hang out with you guys, and try to understand what's going on. And again, I say, not really, they're not really a threat. What about terrorism? Yeah, you have to study a lot. you know, you have to do what kind of terrorism are you talking about? It's really bad cost benefit analysis for them to do such a run. At the same time, you can do it for organized crime. The same things you can say for information brokers or competitive intelligence. I mean, this doesn't mean that there are no problems. I'm just saying that because information work has become such a hype in the last 3 or 4 years, I'm always trying to understand this hype, because I think it's creating a lot of fuss around a community like this one. It's also having an impact on the overall internet users. One of the biggest problems they also have, as I said, on the threat, is actually understanding where does the threat come from. Now, this is, I had the chance to go to certain conferences which involve the military personnel. And, you know, they always build the same thing of the threat on what they used to do with the Soviet Union. You know, you look at a country, you see how many people are using the internet, how many hosts there are, how many people are studying internet studies at the university, how many people are, you know, you just come up with this idea, exactly the same things that they used to do when they were in the Soviet Union, when they were monitoring the Soviet Union. You know, you used to count how many tanks they had, how many missiles they had, how many times they could react, and all these kind of things. And you tell them, you know, you look at them and say, it's not really true. I mean, today we're seeing people speaking about technologies, how I can hide myself, how can I do things without nobody knowing it, and how am I going to measure your threat coming from it? It's kind of impossible. What I see is going to go in the information warfare in the future is that there's going to be a two setting of students in this field, and I think your activities in terms of this conference are going to probably go towards one set, which I hope is going to be mine. Basically, there are going to be people who are going to be studying information warfare, consequently, the legal use of the internet, in a very static way. They're going to say, there are these people, we just have to monitor them, and then let's see what's happening in the future. And then there are people like me, which are trying to look at information warfare in a very dynamic way, which means see how the changes are going, what's going on in the future. Are we really talking about something which is going to stay, or are we going to talk about something which is going to disappear? Recently, I don't know if probably some of you have read the Presidential Commission on Information Infrastructure. They came out with a great report, and they're now setting up, I think, in the United States, they set up a critical information assurance organization. I think they have a very funky website called CHOW, which is a goodbye in Italian. So sometimes they say goodbye to the website. But anyway, you look at the paper, and they say, okay, well, you read it, say, okay, we have to define what are our information infrastructure, which are the critical ones. So let's try to get them, let's try to monitor them, let's try to point them out. But at the same time, you say, there are too many of them. I mean, how you can differentiate between a telecom company and a railway company? So consider they use the same tools sometimes to transmit the things, or other tools. Consequently, also in this case, as you can see, governments, especially Western European United States, at the military level, they cannot measure the trend, because you cannot just point out the 2-3 things and then say, I'm going to concentrate my interest on that. But you're going to have to say, how am I going to change? I mean, is this always going to be the threat focus here, or is the threat going to be focused on other areas? And the problem is, like, I don't see them updating themselves in a fast way. So basically, before I give my mic to the next speaker, I think we have shared the time and I wanted to cut it down so you can have other people talking to. I think information warfare is a great subject. It's interesting, especially for a guy like me, because I'm asking constantly questions. And it allows me to test my knowledge and to actually test the logicity of most of the arguments. The only thing that I think it is good also coming to conference like this, and I think you should try to get more into the debate, just don't look at it in a negative way, just don't camp it out. Because information warfare is attracting a lot of money, and you're talking about wiretapping all these kind of things. Most money are going to get into these technologies. Now, I'm not against these technologies, let's put it like this. I mean, I think in an ideal world, actually, an intelligence organization is essential, because things go bad around the world. I mean, most of the time, we don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to protect the cyber groups here, but I'm just saying sometimes they do a good job. I mean, when you fly safely, when you go around the world safely, you don't realize how much work is behind it to only avoid. They're all crazy people, and which do crazy things. But at the same time, you know, all of this money will actually increase probably the illegal use of wiretapping, of internet, and things like this. And only an active participation of the hackers inside this debate on information warfare will actually help and put the concept put the entire subject in a better academic context, which means you know, with some sort of diversity and with some sort of specific needs. I'm sorry if I cut it down, but I think I want to get back to schedule for the other colleagues. But I'm open to questions. Yeah, I mean, I heard about these things. I mean, I don't have the full information because we're talking about action that the Vietnamese fighters done in Indonesia. Even in this case, they've done a good action. I mean, they've done information operation basically at the propaganda level, I suppose, although they tried to penetrate it. Now, here we're talking, I don't think in this case we're actually doing information warfare in a very specific way. We're doing very propaganda, which is an excellent thing of using the internet to actually spread the news about what's going on down in Timor. Yeah, but that didn't have an impact on the entire operations of the government afterwards. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the country went ahead because they were expecting something like this going on. Yes, you're right. I mean, the country went ahead. Now, when you're doing information warfare, you're trying to actually stop the country for a longer time because you're not going to reach your home. You know, if you take it down for 4 hours, you're not going to destroy Indonesia. It's going to be working. I think what they really achieved is they scare a little bit the government. And consequently, they also scare some of the companies that were thinking about investing in this country. So we had an overall impact in terms of putting Indonesia not only back from what they're using the Umia rights, but also saying, listen guys, if you're investing here in information technologies, this kind of risk that you're going to have, especially if you're a company which is coming from a Western European country, so indirectly supports Indonesia, doesn't do anything about Timor. If you're looking in that way, I think they achieved a quite good goal. But in terms of strategic and military affairs, unfortunately, they didn't achieve what they were expecting. So, does this answer your question?
Based on what you just said, do you think the concept of deterrence activity in the future, not the immediate, but you know, down the line future, do you think that will shift from bombing the way they're kidnapping the way they're doing now to holding actual corporations or eventually or government computers? As opposed to
if I get the question right, you're talking about if terrorists are going to be shifting from going from doing human activities, what they used to do, to cyber activities.
Yeah.
Basically. I think here we're getting in a different ways. I mean, it is yes or no. I mean, this, as usual, it's everything in academic. We'll never take a full stretch to go on one side or the other. But it really depends on the motivation that the terrorist organization wants to achieve. Now, an organization which is, I mean, doing cyber attacks is not an easy thing to do anyway. I mean, you have to have a terrorist organization which is mentally prepared, and not only technologically. I mean, they must have accepted the internet as part of their activities, which is not only to communicate, not only to spread the message, it's to actually use as a weapon. And to the top of my head, I actually don't see many terrorist organizations at the moment going at this level. This doesn't mean that they're not going to go. I mean, as the internet spreads more and internet brings more capabilities, especially not only potential in a positive way, but also in a negative way, I can see it. But I think I also can see it that these are going to be, they're always going to be bombs. I mean, this, you know, let's keep this one right. But you can do, you can sort of like add to the negative effect of bombs or whatever it is, other things. You can use illegal activities done through the internet. And I think they can maximize the impact of what they want to achieve. So I don't know if it's a yes or no question, if I can answer you, but what you get there. The question was like, if I knew of any information warfare squadrons, shall we say, or things like this. I mean, the only thing that I know, and it's been reported on the press, on especially a couple of articles on James Events Weekly and on the Aviation Weekly, they were talking about somebody down in San Antonio. But I think they basically, I think they, the United States Air Force Information Warfare Center, But I don't think they're actually doing anything inoffensive. I mean, it's totally, they're not doing anything offensive. I mean, that's for sure. Basically, they're trying to set up, from my understanding from outside, they're trying to, I mean, you have to remember, I'm an Italian living in London following this subject. I mean, it creates a lot of problems sometimes from my research, as you can imagine. Plus, I work only with unclassified material, and I don't want to even get close to anything which is classified. No, because it will limit my research capabilities. I mean, you know, I will not be able to hear speak in front of you, so I will not learn. But anyway, I don't think they do anything offensive. And if I have to do something offensive, I will definitely not tell them. I'm not very well familiar to speak about you, but thank you. I just got some information about it. And I don't want to say stupid things in front of this audience. I would rather, I mean, the operation algebra receiver, I actually don't know very much about it, and I'm, receiver, sorry. I actually don't know very much about it, and I would rather not answer because I would probably say stupid things. I would rather not do it. Sorry about that. I don't even
know precisely. Operation Algebra Receiver is National Security Agency
program. Now, this is not confidential. This has been reported in the media now. Operation Algebra Receiver is a National Security Agency project to go out and conduct information warfare testing against U.S. defense contractors and U.S. defense agencies to find all the weaknesses in their systems. And they've been very successful lately in pointing out that probably about a third of all the DOD and even some DOE computers are vulnerable to attack and to take over by sophisticated attackers like people in this room. So if anybody wants more information about it,
Alta Vista.
I mean, I sort of knew what he was talking about, but not that precisely. I don't want to win. I mean, it's not, the United States is not only the only country who's doing this kind of things. UK is doing it, they're putting under what they call penetration testing guidelines. France is doing it. I think it's also for two specific reasons. First of all, it creates a market. I mean, you have to understand, I mean, information warfare has also created an incredible market for computer security tools, because it's raised the awareness. And also because, and this is a hidden thing, which I have come out with, if you are extremely good to protect your networks by yourself, which means you can also play very good in offensive. But this is a personal speculation, it's probably there's some documents to say it. But definitely, one of the most interesting things in information warfare is not the difference between offensive and defensive is not really well marked as it was in the past. I mean, if you're really good in defense, that means that you're also very good in offensive. It's just what changes is your motivations and what you're trying to achieve. But in this way, we're going back to the concept of warfare. Warfare is the continuation of politics with other means. So it's going to be the politics who's going to have to decide how to use information warfare. And here it really depends on the structure of the government and on the constitution and things like that. Oh, sorry.
Comment, the U.S. did attacks against Iraqi computer systems during the Gulf War. However, these were very ineffective. The Iraqis had their computer systems back within a matter of a couple hours, and they were only using standard U.S. commercially available servers and equipment.
So consequently, you're probably saying that information warfare doesn't really achieve a lot of goals. It wasn't effective. Yes or no. I mean, it really depends. They didn't accomplish their short-term goals, but we had to put in an overall strategy for what they wanted to achieve. Probably did some results.
Thank you.
those requests and say that the impact of this operation was not very, could be really maximized because of the infrastructure problem with Iraq. And the answer is that actually Iraq had a good information infrastructure due to past cooperation with Western European countries and Western countries, and especially with oil industries. But I mean, here we're getting other things. I mean, did really Iraq lay itself on the support of these information technologies? Here we're getting into another military strategy where computers and command and control system are not really essential, but it's more essential to get the soldiers to fight. So yes, I mean, there was an operation, but I don't think they wanted to expect too much from it. Please. Okay, thank you very much for listening to me. I'm sorry if I was short. If you get to the website of this conference, you can get in touch with me if you want to know anything else, or what my research center does in England, or if you just want to debate about this subject. I'm probably going to start another mailing list on this subject in order to have, and I would like really to get this group of people to actually really participate as much as can in order to have a different perspective. And I'll pass you to the next speaker, which is going to hopefully complement what I'm saying. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.